live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
Turks, Cenk Uygur, Anna Kasparian with you guys. We got a big show. We got a very serious show today. From time to time, though, we will make fun of Trump supporters, and that'll be fun. But some serious stories otherwise. First of all, happy Memorial Day, everybody. We're back from that. But apparently we're not completely back because folks over at shoptyt.com, and you know how they roll. They're crazy, man. They're loco. They decided, no, we're extending the sale. So one more day. Only one more day. Uno mas. 15% off site-wide. Site-wide. Boom. For everybody. Shoptyt.com. They're going nuts. This is the last day for. So jump in it. Let me show you this shirt that I'm wearing from it. I love this one. It's cheeky. It's fun. It's perfect for the times. The great indoors with the couch in the middle. Come on, you know you love it.
I do actually really
love
that.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, there's other
I love being indoors. So it's perfect.
Yeah, I know. That's perfect for you, Anna. That's right. And as we're going to show you later in the show, there's some folks who don't love being indoors, and it could be a total disaster for the country. Anyway, shoptyt.com. One more quick thing before we get going. We're doing audience fundraising because we have to, and we're trying to reach 200,000 a month, and it is a difficult task, and it looks like this month we might not make it. We don't have a lot of days left. Let's see where the thermometer is, Brett. 154,225. Look, guys, every dollar matters, and you guys are amazing, and thank you for taking part in this if you have. And we've got the press-on shirts for people who give 127 or more, and the hoodies for 1,000 or more. I got all these folks. I'm going to add to the donor wall in my house in a minute. If you can help out, it would make all the difference in keeping a strong progressive voice out there in the media. And as you're going to see, it's going to be pretty strong and loud today. All right. So having said that, Anna, let's get started.
All right. Well, I wanted to start off with some of what we're hearing from Trump's economic advisors regarding another possible stimulus. And if you're looking for the federal government to help you, you should probably stop.
Possible that unemployment will be in double digits in November?
Yes, I do. But I think that all the signs of economic recovery are going to be raging everywhere. Robert Barrow has said that he thinks that it looks a little bit like at the end of World War II, the countries that didn't have their capital stocks destroyed by the war, that when the war ended, they pretty much got their economies going at a rate of 40 or 50% a year. And while, you know, he was cautioned about the analogy, and it was just in a private email, I think that you know, Professor Barrow's view that we don't have our capital stock hasn't been destroyed. Our human capital stock is ready to get back to work. And so that there are lots of reasons to believe that we can get going way faster.
That was White House economic advisor Kevin Hassett referring to human beings as human capital stock during an interview with CNN. He is encouraging states to reopen, for employees to get back to work, despite the fact that several states in the U.S. are still experiencing significant spikes in the number of coronavirus cases. So he's getting a little bit of backlash for this, but Cenk, as you know, the Trump administration is certainly guilty of basically pumping out all sorts of controversial stories in the news cycle, so I'm sure people will forget about this, but Hassett has no intention of urging the government to do what's right, which is offer actual financial relief to ordinary Americans.
Yeah. Reverend William Barber, who's a legend, made a great point today about this. He said that phrase actually existed pre-1875, human capital stock. In fact, insurance companies
Can I read his tweet?
Used to sell. Yeah, that's so important. So please, do him justice.
Sure. So Reverend William Barber tweeted, before 1865, American insurance companies sold policies to protect human capital stock. But the 13th Amendment abolished the practice of owning human beings. Some folks need to be reminded. And I think that you're right. That's a powerful statement, Cenk. But I think a lot of Americans today, American workers, feel like they have been treated as nothing more than human capital stock.
Yeah. No, that's right. And I think that is really how the elites see it. Look, one way of looking at the story is the guy says something that's a little off color or not exactly right. Not a big deal in the big scheme of things, given all the corruption and the illegality of the Trump administration and their disregard for the law. We can go on and on, right? But I actually think it's telling because it's their mindset. It's not a gaffe. It's not a slip up. And it doesn't matter that he meant to deride workers or didn't mean to deride workers by calling them human capital stock. It's literally how they think. They think, okay, well, that is one of my assets. I have these workers here who are my human capital stock. But if you treat people like furniture, then, okay, well, I'm going to take, you know, some write-offs here because the furniture got banged up a little bit or three pieces of the furniture broke. But hey, look, it's part of my cost. It doesn't really matter. I factor that in. But this is not furniture. It's not cattle. It's human beings. And they genuinely don't view them that way. That is why American citizens are the very last priority in these stimulus bills. Because we're looking at it as, wait, don't you want to help the citizens? Don't you want to help the humans? And they're viewing it as, no, actually, among my different capital that I have, the humans are the most replaceable and hence the least valuable. That's why we got to them last or not at all.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And for anyone who's been paying attention to the White House and some of the messaging coming from people like Kevin Hassett, it's not surprising that they do not prioritize any type of financial relief for ordinary Americans. In fact, an interview that didn't get much attention featured Kevin Hassett on May 10th, basically saying like, I don't know if we can expect much relief for Americans moving forward. Hassett actually said that the White House could potentially move on to other things that the president has mentioned, like a payroll tax cut and potentially even a capital gains holiday. But here's the statement that he gave reporters back on May 10th.
Mike DeWine, an Ohio Republican, told me that his state really needs more money for the state and for local governments. He's already cut education by almost 4%, which he called a big hit. This is for dire needs like education. Can he count on the Trump administration to get him the money that Ohio needs? Can the other governors count on it?
Right. Well, where we are right now in the White House is that, you know, we've got a bunch of economies around the country and really, frankly, around the world starting to turn the lights back on. We're watching what happens both to economic activity and, frankly, to the path of the disease as that happens. And so that we expect that very quickly we'll have a picture about, you know, how quickly we can recover, whether we might have to slow the recovery back down because the disease is spreading and so on. And I think that it's just premature, given that the $9 trillion of aid that passed in the last three phases, given that that is still out there and there's still a bunch of it that's going to be delivered over the next month, we think that we have a little moment, the luxury of a moment, to learn about what's going on so that the next step that we take can be prudent.
So we have learned what's going on. 30 million Americans are unemployed. They have received a one-time check for $1,200. And there are better unemployment benefits under the stimulus plan, plans that have been already passed by Congress and signed by the president. But keep in mind that in some states where the unemployment system is underfunded, most people who have applied for unemployment have not gotten it yet. So this is a dire situation. State governments are under a lot of pressure and stress. And without any type of relief from the federal government, local economies need to basically cut spending on programs that people desperately need.
So, look, people are rightfully mad at Democrats. They play along with these Republican games often, et cetera. But, it's every once in a while the Republicans remind you of how over the top callous they are and how Democrats are amateurs compared to them in how much they're willing to serve corporate interests. So it should be stunning that he thinks, well, no, we're not going to help regular people anymore. They're just human capital stock, and we feel like we're okay on that stock. On the other hand, we're ready to do a holiday for corporations and their taxes. So it's while we're suffering and everything is melting down and you got 38 million Americans unemployed, he says, I don't give a damn about you, but the poor corporate taxes need a holiday. They need a holiday. So it's unreal. They don't need a holiday at all. They need to be increased, not decreased. He talked about, in that last clip, $9 trillion. That's right. The great overwhelming percentage of that $9 trillion went to the top corporations in the world. Why on God's green earth would they need tax breaks after that? Well, you tell your human capital stock that they could go shove it. This is what Republicans think of the average American. They despise you. They view you as a pawn to move around on a chessboard. The only people they serve is multinational corporations. If you don't know that, you're absolutely ignorant.
Exactly. And Hassett isn't the only one who's putting out these types of messages. Now, Mick Mulvaney, who used to be Trump's director in the Office of Management and Budget, also had an interview with CNBC recently. And in it, he argued that we're conditioning Americans to, get too much help from the federal government. That's his take. Here he is elaborating on that.
Risks here in the stimulus package is that people have lost sort of perspective on what government costs. We're at risk of training people to believe that government is free, that they can borrow whatever, we can borrow whatever we want to with no consequences whatsoever. And that is extraordinarily dangerous. I think everybody on this show would agree with that. We have to sort of break that cycle to say, look, there's costs associated with what we're doing. And when you spend $2 or $3 or $8 trillion, there's going to be a cost to that at some point. It's not free. I disagree with you, say that we're not giving them what they want. I think the contrary is true. We're giving people a lot of stuff they don't want. And the government is too big in the wrong places.
And Jake, I want to just take you back to some of the excellent reporting by Zach Carter over at the Huffington Post. Now, he published this piece prior to Congress passing the second round of stimulus relief, which included some of the benefits for ordinary Americans, like a more robust unemployment program. But he wrote this because it gives you a sense of how much help massive corporations received just from the Federal Reserve. Okay, not even through Congress. So with the Federal Reserve's announcement that it would be providing unprecedented direct support to large corporations, the central bank ensured that firms can get access to government-backed loans with no strings attached. So Mulvaney's talking about ordinary Americans and like they need to understand the importance of like the consequences associated with taking on too much debt. The Federal Reserve is like willy-nilly handing out loans, government-backed loans, to these massive corporations. Let me give you more. Republican leaders are demanding $500 billion. By the way, this passed, as we all know eventually, $500 billion to distribute as Mnuchin sees fit, with no disclosure for 6 months, no curbs on executive compensation, no limits on shareholder giveaways, no requirements to retain workers, and no meaningful oversight mechanisms. The public would receive no share in the upside to its investment. If companies on public support go bust, we eat the losses. If they prosper, we don't even get an investment or interest payment. And Zach Carter is probably the best reporter when it comes to the economic handling related to coronavirus. And he's absolutely right. Not only did Congress give these massive bailouts to corporations, on top of that, you have the Federal Reserve, bailing out these banks themselves with these ridiculous loans. No strings attached.
Mick Mulvaney was also Donald Trump's chief of staff until recently, of course. And so here he is talking about, you don't want to give the people the wrong kind of training. This Republican ideology that if you actually help any regular citizen, they'll be trained in the wrong way, presumably like dogs. and that we'll get used to our treats. And we should never let the dogs get used to their treats. Instead, we should give away the lion's share of $9 trillion to our corporate friends. Well, how about training them, Mick? You're training them that every time they collapse, every time they fail, every time they take too much risk, come back and they're bought bitches like you in the Republican Party and the United States government. We'll bail them out. We'll give them trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars. How about that training, Mick? You love that training because you're bought and owned by those corporations. So they took all of our hard-earned taxpayer money, they gave it to their corporate friends, and now when it comes to saying, hey, with our money, can you also help us a little bit? They're like, no, then we would be training you wrong. These people are disgusting.
Well, let's move on to... actually, I think a great story because it shows that you can put Trump in a position where he needs to play offense, defense. So nearly 100,000 Americans have already died because of coronavirus. And Donald Trump decided that as we're about to hit this insane number, maybe it's a good idea to go golfing, you know, take a little bit of a break as if he's done a decent job handling this pandemic. And a CNN journalist posted a photo of him golfing, saying that President Donald Trump waved at my camera on Saturday while golfing at his Virginia club, his first visit to one of his golf properties since March amid the coronavirus pandemic. By CNN's count, this is his 265th visit to one of his golf clubs since becoming president. So, you know who took advantage of this opportunity in a way that I think makes a lot of sense? Joe Biden. And he used it in what I believe is a very effective ad. Take a look.
Okay, that's an effective ad because it's true. And the numbers are stunning there, man. 265 golf outings. He's been president for a little over 3 years. So, I mean, there's only 365 days in a year. Jesus Christ, how much golfing does he do? And he paused for 3 months for optics during coronavirus. By now, he might have, you know... He easily would have been over 300. It's unbelievable how much he golfs. But to be, quote-unquote, fair to Trump, all the presidents, they're obsessed. All the people in power, obsessed with golf. Golf, 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 golf. What could I possibly do without my beloved church? Golf, golf, okay? And so he complains later in tweets. He says, oh, my God, well, I didn't golf for 3 months. You think I didn't sacrifice? Okay. And of course, made particularly galling by the fact that he criticized Obama for it. We're going to get to that. But guys, now since that ad, we already passed the threshold. There's over 100,000 dead in America because of coronavirus. We still don't have enough tests to do testing and tracing so that we can contain the disease because this moron didn't order tests for 2 months. And now he's, you know, out there having a grand old time while people are still being carried out in stretchers and body bags. So
right.
It's way past time the Democrats got tough. So it's nice to see an ad that at least starts to go in that direction.
Definitely. And, you know, just going back to the point you made about Trump attacking Obama, keep in mind that Obama served 2 terms. We all know that, 8 years. And already... after 3 years in office, Trump has already spent 2.5 times more days on a golf course than Obama had, by the same point, in his first term. And that's according to an analysis by Huffington Post. So who knows what that number is going to be like by the time he finishes his first term. He's already golfed more than 2.5 times compared to Obama at this time in his presidency. And there have been some pretty powerful images shared on social media as well. I want to share one of them with you really quick. The Sunday New York Times edition had a front page that listed 1,000 Americans' names. These were people who died as a result of coronavirus. And people had photoshopped an image of Trump playing golf onto that front page. This isn't the actual front page of the New York Times. The actual front page didn't include a picture of Trump. But people on social media had used this imagery to make a point about how little Trump actually values people's lives. And, you know, regarding some of the comments that Trump had to make about Obama golfing, remember during the Ebola outbreak, which, you know, I think the Obama administration actually did a really good job in preventing the spread of that virus here in the United States. But Trump felt the need to attack Obama and accuse him of not taking that outbreak seriously. Here's a video from 2014 where Trump is going after Obama for golfing.
He certainly knows a good game because golf is a great game. Nobody likes it more than me, but he's played a lot of golf. There's no question about it. Right. And, you know, when you're president, you sort of say, like, I'm going to sort of give it up for a couple of years and I'm going to really focus on the job. How about right after the beheading? He then walks over, he gives a news conference, and then walks right outside and tees it up. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, there are times to play golf. We all love golf. There are times to play, and there are times that you can't play. And it sends the wrong signal, but he plays a lot of golf.
But he also had 7 fundraisers last week, some business in between.
Mm, he likes to play golf. I mean, maybe, but not as much as you do, Trump.
If you notice there, said, you know, maybe take a couple of years off if you're president. And instead, he becomes president and golfs 265 times in a little over 3 years. It's unreal, man. And he also had criticized Obama, saying, there's been 2 deaths since Ebola began. And can you believe he's golfing? Meanwhile, we're not anywhere near done with coronavirus. It's spiking in 25 different states as we speak now. Over 100,000 dead versus 2 for Ebola. And Trump goes right out there and golfs. And he knows what he said about Obama. It's in his tweets. But he can't help himself because his golf matters way more than your life.
Okay, and I have to end on Trump playing defense because it's absolutely hilarious. Let me just preface this by saying that Trump previously said he doesn't believe in exercise because he believes that humans have a finite amount of energy and exercise wastes it. But in trying to defend himself against Joe Biden's ad, he said, Sleepy Joe's representatives have just put out an ad saying that I went to play golf, and then in parentheses he wrote, exercise today. They think I should stay in the White House at all times. What they didn't say is that it's the first time I've played golf in almost 3 months. Okay, 100,000 Americans gone due to this pandemic, due to his failures in properly responding to it, due to his failures in showing any degree of leadership whatsoever. So to compare himself to Obama is absolutely ridiculous when you consider how much of an absolute failure Donald Trump has been, not just with this pandemic, which I think really does emphasize his failure, but throughout his entire presidency. He's only used the office of the president to benefit himself, to enrich himself and his family. And he has shown over and over again that he does not value American lives at all, even the very people who voted for him. He uses them for political gain. He uses them when he wants to further his political ambitions. But at the end of the day, he does not care about anyone other than himself. And by the looks of it, he doesn't really seem to care too much about exercise either.
Now, what's amazing is him bragging about the 3 months. But this is the first time I've ever played in 3 months. Look at all that I have given for this country, and you still want more. What did you want me to go 4 months without my beloved golf? God, they're unbearable. And from one overweight American to another, you know you could get exercise in another way. It's called a treadmill, fat ass. Look into it. Golf is not your only option.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we have more for you, including conservative goons poking fun at Biden for doing something responsible. We'll be right back.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un*** the Republic, or UNFTR.
As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of On the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
All right, back on the Young Turks. As usual, we'll read member comments, including a challenge to me. Gabby Morita says, does anyone else feel like Human Capital Stock is basically a soft rebranding of slavery? Getting there. Kofefe19 writes in, remember what George Carlin said about pro-life Republicans. They want live babies so they can have dead soldiers. Or in this case, they want live babies so they can have dead workers. Oof. That is unfortunately haunting, and I'm afraid correct. Flight Correction has an interesting story. It's just his own, but he says, guys, I happen to work at one of the biggest tech companies run by a guy, let's say Uncle Larry, and they consider any group over 9,999 human capital, sort of like one death is horrible, 10,000 is a statistic. Penumbra points out they want the states to open up so they don't have to pay unemployment. Another excellent point. Our members always make excellent points, or often make excellent points, because I'm about to read you one that I disagree with. TYT.com/join to become a member. Whiskey Boy says, Cenk, why do you keep voter shaming on Twitter? Choosing not to vote or vote Green Party is just as much of a decision as choosing between Trump and Biden. I would argue that it is actually a tougher decision than just going with Biden because he's the presumptive nominee. Most importantly, you aren't convincing anyone, and you are alienating people from TYT. I appreciate your valid critique, and you've earned that right, and member support and make this show possible. So I take what you say very seriously. My sense of how to go forward is I will try really hard to get folks on the other side on the show, on the conversation, which is now at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. Before the show, we had Bernie Sanders on recently. We have a lot of great guests on, and I'll try to get folks from that camp on to discuss it. I just don't agree that not voting is a viable option. I think it's a terrible idea. I'm not going to hide my real opinions from you. I'm not going to pander, and I'm not going to be a grifter who goes with the crowd to get more followers or subscribers or anything like that. If you don't like my honest opinion, that's perfectly fine. But it is my honest opinion. And that's yours. And we do this show together. And thank you for voicing that. I'm going to try to get those voices on the air so you could hear from them, too. All right, Anna, go ahead.
So I mean, if he's not wearing a mask, I'm not going to wear a mask. If he's not worried, I'm not worried.
The president.
Yes, sir.
That is an Alabama beachgoer where the beaches were packed with people who were not practicing social distancing and, more importantly, refused to wear a mask. And part of the reason why is because you have people like Donald Trump refusing to wear a mask in public. And he has even gone so far as to criticize Joe Biden in his own way for doing the responsible thing by wearing a mask during a Memorial Day event in D.C., I'm sorry, in Arlington, Virginia. So, look, this is so absolutely ridiculous. It shows you the exact type of, you know, the lack of leadership that I've been talking about on this show. Donald Trump retweeted Brit Hume for mocking Biden, and CNN has a few more details on this. Let's take a quick look.
Yesterday, President Trump and the First Lady go to a Memorial Day remembrance. They were not wearing masks. We saw former Vice President Joe Biden and Dr. Jill Biden going to Memorial Day observance wearing masks. Britt Hume, who you know well, at Fox TV, tweeted a picture of Joe Biden yesterday that says this might help explain why Trump doesn't like to wear a mask in public. The president retweeted it. And now the medicine of this is clear. The CDC recommends that everyone wears masks. But I'm just so confused by why the president and Britt Hume thinks this is smart politics. 64% of Americans in the Quinnipiac poll said they favor requirements that everyone wear a mask in public. So the president is retweeting a picture of something recommended by the CDC that a vast majority of people support. It's wildly popular with voters. So who's owning whom here?
Well, I should also note that while the poll indicates that the majority of Americans do want to see Trump wearing a mask and they agree with the guidelines encouraging Americans to wear masks, if you break it down by political party, Democrats and independents, the majority of them do want masks, whereas a minority of Republicans are in favor of wearing masks. And I think it's because of what we're seeing from Donald Trump. And by the way, not only did the CDC basically give the American people this guideline and tell them that you need to wear masks when you're out in public, there was recently a PSA featuring the Surgeon General wearing a mask and encouraging others to do so. Take a look.
As the country begins to reopen, don't forget to wear a cloth face covering when in public. And remember, I wear my face covering to protect you, and you wear yours to protect me. We're all in this together.
So, Cenk, I think that the big problem here is that Americans, for as long as I can remember, have been conditioned to only look out for themselves. It's that individualism that's been like nailed into our heads every single year, decade after decade. And so when you're trying to tell Americans to do the right thing to protect other people, you're not really giving them much of an incentive. I just feel like this has really shown us a lot about where we are culturally.
Yeah. Mark Thompson made a good point on our new Twitch show when he said, look, it was a big mistake to say that the mask protects others, because unfortunately for a significant percentage of this country, and I would argue a much, much larger percentage of conservatives, when they hear it only helps others, they just tune out. They go, oh, if it's not protecting me, then I don't care about it at all. And in fact, in the interviews that of beachgoers this weekend, one guy basically said that. He's like, well, man, I don't think I'm going to get it. If I get it, it's no big deal. And the reporter asked him, how about your kids and your family? He's like, whatever, right, in essence. And so in terms of the optics of it, Republicans, and especially Donald Trump, is obsessed with looking weak. You know why? Because they're weak. Yeah. And so since he's deeply insecure about that, he's so worried about the optics, because in the back of his mind, what he's thinking is, what if people discover me for the fraud that I am? What if people discover how weak I am and how insecure I am? I can't let them see. So, look, I get that Dukakis looked goofy in a tank, but Biden doesn't look goofy there at all. I mean, everybody knows the Young Turks doesn't mind criticizing Joe Biden, including in the middle of a campaign. If anything, he looks like kind of like a badass bank robber there. Right? So
he looks like he has a concern about other people's lives. You know, something that a pro-life individual would do. And I'm not talking about pro-life in terms of abortions. I'm talking about pro-life in terms of actually caring about protecting other people and preventing them from getting a lethal virus. That's what he looks like. So all of these these anti-abortion political operatives and politicians are full of it, because they're the same people who downplay the importance of wearing a mask right now. They don't care about human lives. They don't care about protecting others.
Well, real quick, I want to read that comment again from one of our members. I'm sorry, it's not there anymore. But one of our members just wrote in that George Carlin used to joke about how Republicans are pro-life because they want live babies so they could have dead soldiers. And the modern-day equivalent is live babies so they could be dead workers. But in terms of actually caring about your life, they've never demonstrated that. Once you're out of the womb, you're screwed. And so this is just the latest version of that. And they're saying, I would rather sacrifice your life than endanger my marketing. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's amazing, but it's also unsurprising considering what we've seen from the Trump administration so far. We got to take a quick break, but when we come back, a huge story that is difficult to talk about, difficult to describe, but it has to do with police brutality, and there were consequences for the police in this case. So don't miss the details on that and more when we return.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
All right, back in the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. You guys make this show possible. So do our sponsors, including Aspiration. They're a progressive financial institution. They don't put your money in anything that is related to fossil fuels. They also help plant trees. They do a lot of other wonderful things as well. But every time you sign up for an account, together we plant 10 trees. Already 28,000 trees in the TYT Aspiration Forest. Aspiration.com/TYT. Aspiration.com/TYT. Keep your money in a place where you feel good about it. Now I'm going to go to your comments here, and we appreciate everybody using YouTube Super Chat as well. Some great comments there. But let me go to our members here in the short time that we have. Bernie is my spirit animal, writes in, I live in upstate New York in one of the most progressive cities in the country. The number of people refusing to wear masks is terrifying. Trump's influence in his making this virus a partisan issue is terrifying, and now our numbers are rising. The infamous Mr. Joy Boy writes in, it's all about taking care of number one. Everybody else can go to hell. What noble values? Yes, that's from the Party of Family Values. And Tatiana in Japan writes in, this is one reason people believe that virus hadn't spread as quickly in Japan as it could have. Japan's mentality is group-based, not individual-based. They also normally wear masks when coughing or sneezing, so wearing a mask to protect others is not something people here are going to fight against. Well, it made a giant difference. They had a lot less deaths, and that is definitely one of the reasons. Our members make this show possible. TYT.com/join to become a member. We appreciate it. Anna, go ahead.
All right. Four police officers in Minneapolis have been fired, and the FBI is investigating a death connected to these officers, the death of George Floyd, a black man in Minneapolis who was filmed being begging cops to not kill him as they were apprehending him. The video that we're about to show you is incredibly graphic. It's disturbing. It's difficult to watch. But it gives you a sense of what the scene looked like and what the cops did that led to his death.
Bro, with your feet on his neck, man, you get off
the His nose is bleeding. Like, yeah, come on now.
That's wrong right there with his feet on his neck.
Look at his
man.
Nose.
You see your knee on his neck. Yeah, he got your feet right on his neck.
I cannot breathe.
You're just a grown. You're a tough guy. You're a tough guy. You're not even resisting arrest, bro.
His whole nose is
on fire. Fought with him.
Bro, but why you just sitting there? He ain't doing nothing now. Put him in the car.
It'll kill me.
How long y'all gotta hold him down?
This is why we don't do drugs, kids.
It ain't about drugs, bro. You know that's bogus right now, bro. You know it's bogus. You can't even look at me like a man because you a bum, bro. He's not even resisting arrest right now, bro.
His nose is bleeding.
You I'm stopping his breathing right now, bro. You think that's cool? Like, get off of his neck!
Still on him, bro.
Yes, look at
get back
that,
on
bro.
The street.
Are you serious? Bro, are you serious? And you gonna keep your you gonna keep your thing on your neck?
Look at him.
I'm a real man, bro. The fact that you guys aren't checking his pulse and doing compressions if he needs that, you guys are on another level.
Oh my God, bro.
Okay.
They just dragged him. Like, come on now.
And I have your name tag.
They killed him. So that was maybe the single worst video I've watched. And unfortunately, we've had to watch hundreds of videos of police killing American citizens, mainly African Americans. And the longer video is about 10 minutes. Let me just quickly explain the two phases of it. First 4 minutes is the guy, George Floyd, is still speaking. And he's saying, I'm having trouble breathing. I can't breathe. At one point, he starts to get more incoherent, and he's asking for his mama. And they won't get off of him. They won't get off of his neck. They won't get off of it. And then, as you saw there, he in a portion of that video that we showed you, he passes out. At that point, they still stay on his neck for about 3 to 4 minutes. When you see, finally, a guy with gloves comes and checks for a pulse, it looks like, that was after at least 3 minutes of him not moving on the ground. He was clearly speaking earlier, then he's at a bare minimum unconscious for 3 to 4 minutes when they finally check his pulse for about, as you saw there, for about 2 seconds. Now, they say he died later at the hospital from this. Look, I don't trust anything the authorities say anymore. And so I don't know if they're saying that to make it seem 1% better or something. It looked like he died right there and then. I mean, you see, whatever.
And they refused to get him the medical help that he needed. They just refused.
Yeah. So either way, what they did there killed the guy 100%. So what we teach our cops across the country, and I'm not interested in any BS that's out there to cover the ass of all of these police departments. We teach them brutality as a matter of course. We teach them the Black Lives Don't Matter as a matter of course. We teach them to absolutely brutalize us like the thugs that they have become. And so when cops see that, it, like, right now, everybody's acting outraged, okay? But the reality is, they've been doing that for decades. They've been doing it for decades. And now they've been doing it for year after year with us videotaping it. And they don't care. That cop didn't care at all. Why? I want you to think about this. The most important part. You're outraged. I hope you are. We're all outraged. But the most important part is we've got to fix it. And fixing it means you have to acknowledge the problem. The problem is none of the cops did anything about it because they found it perfectly normal. Why? Because they're taught that you crush the citizens. You crush their necks and you don't worry about them. You don't care about their lives. And if they're passed out dead underneath you, you put your boot on their neck until they are dead. And so don't tell me, oh, no, theoretically, the cops don't want to kill them. Oh, they tell them, oh, by the way, after you brutalize them, beat the living crap out of people and shoot them, whether you know they're armed or unarmed, and your life is 1,000 times more important than a black man's life, than an average citizen's life, than a poor person's life, than a middle-class person's life. Your life is godly. Their lives are irrelevant. After you teach them all that, you say, by the way, at the end, if you can, try not to kill them. But it's really not that big a deal because better to be judged by 12 than carried out by 6. It is taught in every police department in this country. What does that mean? That means just kill them. Who cares? Because God forbid your life should be within any danger at all, 1% of 1%. You think that cop's life was in danger? Absurd. He didn't give a damn about that guy's life. That's why it's called Black Lives Matter. And anyone who's against Black Lives Matter is a racist piece of crap, including every NFL owner, including Donald Trump, and nearly every Republican politician in this country. You got a problem with kneeling because Colin Kaepernick took a knee? I have a much bigger problem when that cop takes a knee on a black man's neck. And if you can't see that and you think what that cop did is no big deal, but what Colin Kaepernick did is bad, you're the worst scum there is. You're the racist that causes this racist society in the first place.
So as I mentioned in the beginning of this story, one of the big updates was that four cops in connection to Floyd's death have been fired, and the FBI is investigating what happened. I do want to give you some more context, some more information about the officers in question, and also why this escalated, needlessly escalated. So the Star Tribune reported that officials have not publicly named the officer in question, but two sources familiar with the investigation identified him as Derek Chauvin. Multiple sources identified the other officer, who is prominently featured in the video, as Tao Thao. So my guess is those are among the four who have been fired from their jobs. When it comes to the cop who had his knee on Floyd's neck, little is known about him or his time at the department, but department records and news accounts show that he has been involved in at least three police-involved shootings over his career with the Minneapolis Police Department, Wayne Reyes in 2006, and Leroy Martinez and Ira Latrell Tolles, both in 2011. So this isn't the first time he was involved in a cop-related shooting. And also, how did this all happen? Well, apparently there was an accusation that a man who fit the description of Floyd was using a counterfeit bill to pay for groceries. And then cops were called to the scene. The cops had claimed that when they arrived to the scene, they saw Floyd sitting on the hood of his car and he matched the description of the person using a counterfeit bill. I don't know, and honestly, I don't care if Floyd was the person who used a counterfeit bill. No one in this country should die from extrajudicial killings, okay? That means that you don't get a day in court. That means that the cops get to be the jury and the executioners. And if people are comfortable with that, just keep in mind that we have people running around this country thinking that there's tyranny because they're being asked to wear masks to prevent the spread of coronavirus. Tyranny is when you allow the government to do extrajudicial killings, which is what you saw in that video right there.
Does one person in this country think that the cop would have done the same thing if it was a white banker in a suit? Not one person. I don't care if you're MAGA, you're left, you're middle, it doesn't matter. No one thinks the cops would have done that to a white banker. You know it. Every single, I don't care if you're the head of the cop union. I don't care who you are. You know he wouldn't have done it to a white banker. Everybody knows he wouldn't have done it to a white banker. And by the way, he shouldn't. He shouldn't do it to anyone. But they don't value black lives. They don't value poor lives. That's an absolute fact. And it's ingrained in them. And it's taught to them. It's the culture that is sickening, that is corrupt, that is rotten. Yes, God damn it, I'm angry. If you're not angry at that, there's something emotionally wrong with you. You can't empathize with anyone else. Oh my God, that's a different skin color that I don't empathize at all. And for everyone out there who doesn't believe millions of African Americans who say over and over again that they have been brutalized by the police, to think that all of them are lying is unbelievable. And if you say that, yes, I don't care how much you cry, you're a full-blown racist if you don't believe millions of African Americans who tell you it happens again and again and you see it with your own eyes and you still don't believe it and you still don't want any reform and you still don't want any justice. That's who the right wing in this country is today. They disgust me. Get some justice for George
Floyd. They don't care.
And it is not enough to fire them. That officer should 100% be arrested and tried for murder.
All right, we have less than 4 minutes, so let's do one last story and hopefully we can get it done. So a white woman named Amy Cooper is apologizing today because she's racist, and it was obvious in footage that was viral over the weekend. Take a look.
I'm asking you to stop.
Please don't come close to me.
Sir, I'm asking you to stop recording.
Please don't come close to me.
Please take your phone off.
Please don't come close to me.
And I'm taking a picture and calling the cops.
Please call the cops. Please call the cops.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life.
Please tell them whatever you like.
Excuse me? I'm sorry, I'm in the Ramble, and there is a man, African-American, he has a bicycle helmet. He is recording me and threatening me and my dog. There is an African-American man, I am in Central Park. He is recording me and threatening myself and my dog. And my... I'm sorry, I can't hear you either. I'm being threatened by a man in the Ramble. Please send the cops immediately. I'm in Central Park in the Ramble. I don't know.
Thank you.
So Cooper was in an area of Central Park where her dog needed to be leashed because that's an area where bird watchers like to go watch birds, clearly. Christian Cooper, a black man, no relation to Amy Cooper, asked her, hey, can you please put your dog on a leash? And she refused to do so. The Cocker Spaniel Rescue, by the way, where she adopted her dog, announced that they had taken custody of the pooch, who was treated rather violently in the video. And her employer, Franklin Templeton Investments, released a statement announcing that she'd been placed on administrative leave. She was not being threatened in any way by Christian Cooper, and calling the cops to lie about him posing as some sort of threat is absolutely disgusting, especially when you consider what sometimes happens when cops arrive on the scene and don't ask any questions and decide to take physical action against the person who's being accused of something, especially a black man.
Okay, I want to talk about two super important parts of that video, but first, a little bit more context. So Franklin Templeton, her employer, has now officially fired her. The reason why Christian Cooper, the man there, cares so much is because he's an avid birder. In fact, I didn't know the phrase birder, sorry, but he is on the board of the New York City Audubon Society, and when the dogs are not leashed, apparently they attack the birds. So, he's 57 years old, he's a Harvard graduate, and he was trying to protect the birds. Okay. When she said, I'm going to tell them about your race. And then in the call, she said African-American twice. And then the second part, she acted frenzied as if her life was actually in danger. So she's sending people with guns to go find a black man who has endangered the life of her, she claims, to the police. It puts him in mortal danger. I mean, we just did the story of George Floyd. It puts him in absolute mortal danger. And she does that because she was inconvenienced. And that's in the middle of New York City. Yeah. Sometimes there's just no hope for this society, man. It's gross what happens. Luckily, he's fine. He wasn't there when the police arrived. TYT.com/join. So much more, including Old School next.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.